Chapter 14. Okay, so we've got chips, salsa, popcorn, soda, and a marathon lineup of the most terribly awesome and awesomely terrible pictures Nicolas Cage has ever been in, Stiles says, looking around. Anything else you're going to need for a full moon? Movies that won't make me want to claw my eyes out, Derek suggests. You agreed to the Cage marathon, buddy. Yes, because I figured you would pick decent things, like Raising Arizona and Red Rock West, not Con Air and whatever this is, Derek says, picking up a copy of The Wicker Man. Let me tell you, Derek, that this is going to be some of the finest comedy you have ever seen, Stiles says, with a completely straight face. He manfully resists the urge to do his best Nicolas Cage impression and adds, Seriously, though, is there anything else you're going to need? I don't really know how any of this, you know, works. Derek shakes his head. I'll be fine. I've been a werewolf long enough that I don't have problems controlling my shift, even on the full moon. Although, he shakes his head. Nothing. Never mind. Dude, you know that's not going to work with me, right? Stiles says, giving him a look. He thinks about how Tom had briefly pulled Derek aside that evening before leaving with Peter and the others. He hesitates. Is this about what my dad said to you? No, that was something else. Derek sighs. Look, don't say anything to anyone, okay? Especially not Peter. But I've been having a little trouble anchoring myself. It's not a big deal. Stiles frowns and sits on the sofa. If you're mentioning it, it kind of sounds like a big deal. An anchor, that's what you focus on to stay in control, right? I know my dad uses me as his anchor, even if we haven't talked about it. So what do you use? Derek won't quite look at him, but he answers readily enough. Anger. Oh. Stiles blinks a few times. That kind of makes sense then, doesn't it? That you'd be less able to focus on anger. I mean, you probably aren't as angry anymore. I guess. Before, it was like... Derek huffs out a breath. Have you ever been so angry that you actually become calm? No. My reaction to extreme anger is to cry, and let me tell you how much fun that made middle school for me. I don't think I've ever been calm in my life, actually, but that's kind of a separate issue. Never mind, keep talking. Derek snorts despite himself. For a long time after my family died, I focused on anger. On being so angry that no other emotion could creep in. I couldn't be sad or feel guilty because the anger just burned away everything else. But everything that's happened this month, I don't know. I guess it's kind of hard to explain. It makes sense, though, Stiles says. I mean, anger is one of the stages of grief, right? So maybe you've just finally processed your anger enough to feel other things. And maybe letting other people care about you and take care of you, that kind of opens you up inside, you know? He rubs a hand over the back of his head. So you just need something else to focus on, that's all. What do you think Peter uses? Pain, Derek says immediately. And when Stiles gives him a questioning look, he says, I asked him. Okay, but what did he use before? The same thing all of us used. Family. Pack. Well, can you use the new pack, then? Derek shrugs. I barely know these people. I can't use Peter because it's just too complicated. I understand why he killed Laura. I don't hate him, but I can't forgive him either. Stiles hesitates. Then can you use me and my dad, then? I've been trying, actually. It's just, that's complicated, too. Derek studies his hands. Like I said, I'm grateful for what you've done for me, but you aren't my family. Your dad isn't my dad. And just trying to use you as my anchor, it feels like I'm replacing them, betraying their memory. It's not rational, and I know that, but feelings don't have to be, Stiles agrees, nodding. And that just makes it hard to focus. I try to focus on it, but the guilt and the doubt and resentment all starts creeping in, And the next thing I know, I've got fangs peeking out. Derek sighs. I think it'll just take time. It sucks, that's all. I can totally see that it would suck, Stiles says. So, hey, what did my dad want to tell you before they left? Derek looks away again. He wanted to warn me that he thinks Peter might have figured out about Kate and me. Peter didn't say anything, but he's smart, you know? I guess your dad said something that maybe made him put a few pieces together. Ugh, Stiles says. Well, he can't kill Kate again, so... I know. I just hope he's not angry with me. Stiles frowns. Dude, I'm just gonna be blunt for a minute, okay? If Peter is angry with you because Kate was a lying, manipulating, sexual predator who took advantage of you when you were 15, I will remove his balls with a staple gun. I don't even know how I would do that, but I would figure it out. Derek flushes pink and gives that charming smile that makes Stiles feel all gooey on the inside. Thanks. Now Stiles blushes too. Okay, cool. We've gotten that settled. Should we start with put the bunny back in the box or not the bees? Derek just shakes his head and says, I bow to your superior expertise. Tom comes home the morning after the full moon, exhausted. He's glad that he had believed Peter and already arranged for the next day off. He gets home just after dawn and is about ready to pass out for a few hours. His control is good, Peter says, better than he would have expected. But it takes effort. It's like running a mental marathon. He has to sit there and focus intently on not losing control. Isaac actually turned out to be better at it than he was, which surprised him. He supposes that the kid probably has a lot of practice keeping his temper. Scott was something of a disaster, but Peter says that he had expected him to be, along with expecting Isaac to be, so he took it in stride, which mostly meant keeping Scott chained up while Scott tried to kill him. Tom wasn't sure he approved of that, but Peter said it was probably only be necessary the first time. Tom had his own issues to deal with, so he shelved it for later and made a mental note to ask Derek if this was really how it was supposed to go. He certainly won't be asking now, since Derek is sprawled out on the sofa with Stiles asleep on top of him. Tom looks down at them and sighs quietly. He checks his watch, then leans down and gives Stiles' shoulder a squeeze. Not the bees, Stiles mumbles, clutching at Derek's shirt. Hey, come on, buddy. Up and at 'em, Tom says, shaking him gently. Stiles blinks up at him, yawns, and rubs a hand over his face. Time for you to get up and head to school. School is the worst, Stiles whines. I need my sleep. Teenagers need 14 hours of sleep a day. Go to school, Tom says firmly, and heads up the stairs without waiting to see if Stiles actually complies. Apparently he does, because when he wakes up later, the house is empty. Derek had only left recently. Tom can tell because there's a ham and egg sandwich on the counter, covered with foil and still warm. He devours it one-handedly before heading to the sofa, where he plans to spend most of the day. He's not sure where Derek goes during the day. He doesn't sit around the Stilinski house, but doesn't talk about where he goes either. It's his own business, and Tom has decided not to push. Stiles, Scott, and Isaac come in later in a burst of chatter about everything that's been going on at school, and about how this girl Erica had a seizure and Scott dove across the gymnasium to catch her before she could fall off their climbing wall. Maybe she'd want to be a werewolf too, Scott says. We don't need to make any more werewolves, Tom says. The pack is as big as it needs to be. Well, yeah, but if it could cure her epilepsy like it cured my asthma, that'd be pretty cool, right? Scott says. I'll talk to Peter about it, Tom says. Not because he wants to, but because he doesn't want the others to. Peter would absolutely go bite this emotionally vulnerable child and then look innocent and say, you didn't tell me not to, and then Tom would have to slap him. These acrobatics you did, noticeable? The gym had mostly emptied out by then, so I don't think anyone noticed, Styles says. Allison did, though, Scott says, frowning faintly. Do you think her dad has talked to her yet? She hasn't said anything to me. I doubt he has, Tom says. He's probably hoping he can get away without doing it at all, he adds somewhat sourly. He makes a mental note that he might have to do this himself, which could be awkward since he barely knows Allison. They've met twice, for a sum total of a minute and a half. Maybe he'll just call Chris and tell him to step on it before Allison catches Scott hanging off a chandelier or something. That probably won't take long, since Scott is already talking about trying to get Finstock to give him a chance on the field. Tom rubs a hand over his face. Scott, remember that talk we had about not showing everyone in California that werewolves exist? Well, yeah, I'll be careful, I promise. Isaac wants to play too, Styles says, like this is going to make Tom feel better. Isaac looks like a deer in headlights, but nods when Tom glances at him. It's time to play dirty. Tom points to Scott and says, Listen, Scott, if you get on first line, Allison's going to go to the games and see you play. So if you do that before she knows you're a werewolf, she's going to get upset that you are keeping secrets from her. You don't want Allison to be upset with you, right? Scott looks appalled at the very thought. Well, just, yeah, I can wait until after I've talked to her about being a werewolf. Glad to hear it. Now I'm betting you guys have homework. Get to it. The teenagers moan, but they crack open their textbooks. Tom shakes his head and leaves them to it. After some debate, he decides to text Peter about the girl with epilepsy. Text conversations seem to go better with Peter when he bothers to reply to Tom's texts. He starts with the important question, Would the bite cure epilepsy? Peter responds suspiciously quickly, I don't see why not. New prospect? Maybe, Tom replies. We have to approach it carefully. Someone who's sick would have trouble saying no. He's not sure exactly what he expects from that. Probably some snarky retort. The pause is surprisingly long, and he thinks that maybe Peter is too busy rolling his eyes to bother replying at all. But it turns out he was typing a long reply. The problem, Tom, is that you think of being a werewolf as an inherently bad thing. It is a change, true, but it's not something that's necessarily negative. It's not a disease or a disability that I'm inflicting on people. So I honestly don't see why you're so concerned about who I give it to or their reasons for doing it. Tom takes a moment to consider his reply. Because you don't understand the change. You were born this way. I wasn't. Trust me, it's not as easy as you're making it sound. I suppose, Peter replies, which is probably the most conciliatory thing that Tom has heard from him on this subject. There's also the issues of hunters, Tom points out. I probably don't see that from your point of view either, Peter replies. Since Peter's clearly thinking that they should just murder anyone who gives them a hard time, Tom wisely doesn't engage him on this topic. I just think that we shouldn't pop into this girl's hospital room and say, Hey, we can cure you, but you'll turn into a wolf once a month. Whatever you say, Peter says, which somehow makes Tom feel like Peter is secretly very irritated with him. He sighs and heads back into the other room. Seen Derek around? He asks his son. Nuh-uh, Styles says, not looking up from his homework. Texting works well with Derek, too. He seems less likely to get prickly over text. Tom opens with, How did it go last night? Styles give you any trouble? About 10 minutes later, Derek texts back with, His taste in movies is terrible. You're not wrong, Tom says, shaking his head in amusement. Wanted to ask you a question if you have a minute. Shoot, Derek replies. Peter had Scott and Isaac chained up last night, at least until Isaac proved that he could control himself. That seems a little barbaric, to be honest. Wanted to get your take on it. There's a somewhat long pause before Derek replies, Get my take on it how? Is that normal? Tom asks, although Derek's response is already making him think that it is. The first time or two, yeah. especially with people who are turned young. Okay, thanks. Tom sees that he has a new text from Peter, sighs, and switches back to that screen. Much to his surprise, Peter has said, "Maybe the reason you think of lycanthropy as inherently bad is because you didn't get a choice in the matter. That's my fault, so I'll try to respect your feelings." Tom eyes his phone suspiciously. He has a feeling that Peter is agreeing with him in order to soften him up. But he is agreeing, and more than that, he's probably correct. So Tom replies, "That probably is part of it, yes. So thank you." "If I talk to new prospects ahead of time, would that solve the problem, then?" Tom sighs. "If you give someone a choice between a chronic illness and being a werewolf, they're obviously going to choose being a werewolf." "Scott didn't at first. He took the time to think about it." "I suppose that's true." Tom somehow resists the urge to mention that Scott's hesitance was because of Allison, which really wasn't a very good reason. Peter is going to have a counter-argument for anything he says. "But you have 3 betas now, 4 counting Derek. You don't need another." "Every member adds strength to the pack," Peter replies, "and with Gerard in town, it will be better to be prepared." Tom can't argue with that even a little. He sighs. "Okay, I think Melissa knows this girl. She and I will sit down and talk with her, but only after she's out of the hospital. Agreed?" "Agreed," Peter replies. Stiles has been summoned to the principal's office for a lot of different reasons since he was a child, but he usually knows what he's done wrong before he shows up. This time he doesn't, and that makes him more than a little nervous. When he walks into the office and sees Gerard Argent, he goes from nervous to alarmed, and is about to text his father when Gerard turns to him and smiles. "Mr. Stilinski, have a seat." "Hi, where's Mr. Burns?" Stiles asks, looking around to see if his principal might have been tied up and stuffed into a closet. "He resigned. I'm the new principal." "Oh, okay. Wow." Stiles blinks several times, wondering how to make a tactful exit in this scenario. "Have a seat, Stiles," Gerard says, still smiling. "It is Stiles, right?" he adds, and Stiles nods, sliding into a chair. "I wanted to talk to you about an incident that happened on school grounds that you were a witness to. Happened a couple weeks ago, the night of the dance." I don't think I'm supposed to talk about that with anyone," Stiles says. "I mean, I gave my statement to the police." "Well, since the investigation is closed, there's no legal reason you can't discuss it," Gerard says. "And since it's my job to make sure the students of this school are safe, I have every right to ask questions about it. So just tell me what happened, son. I know it must have been a difficult experience." Stiles gives him the side eye and thinks about pointing out that his grandfatherly act is more see-through than saran wrap, but decides against it. He's glad that he had already asked his father what to say if Gerard came asking questions. He'll stick to the official story, even though parts of it are a lie and Gerard damned well knows it. Well, I was at the dance. I went out to use the bathroom. When I came out, Kate grabbed me. She put her gun to my head and, took my phone." He tries to keep his voice even, tries to keep things as short and unemotional as possible, tries not to think about the actual excitement in Kate's voice as she had told him what she was doing. "She took a selfie with me to send to my dad. Then she strapped a bomb to my chest." His gaze darts back to Gerard, but he says nothing. "My dad got here about 10 minutes later, and my date came looking for me, too. My dad and Kate talked for a few minutes. Kate started the timer on the bomb, and my date moved like he was going to go toward me. Kate pointed her gun at him, and then my dad fired on her. It all happened really fast. Dad cut the bomb off me, and my date ran out of the school with it, and then my dad called for backup, and a whole lot of stuff started happening. He had one of the deputies take me home. That's it." "Mm-hmm." Gerard considers this for a minute. "Your story is missing some pieces, I think, and some people." Stiles pretends to think about it really hard for a minute. "Nope, that's the whole thing." Mm-hmm, Gerard says again, which really makes Stiles want to spit in his face. So you're sure that it's your father who killed Kate? Yep, Stiles says. Even though it happened so fast? I am 100% sure, yes. Can I go? Not just yet. Gerard stands up and Stiles eyes him nervously. I know that teenagers lie all the time, especially to protect their friends. So I just want to ask you one more question, but with a small advantage this time. He circles around behind Stiles and presses two fingers into his throat. Stiles immediately tries to get to his feet, but Gerard's other hand comes down on his shoulder, pressing him into the chair. I'm not going to hurt you. I just want to get a sense of your pulse. Think of it as a game. All you have to do is tell the truth. Do you know where Peter Hale is? No, Stiles says, uncomfortably aware of his heart thudding in his chest. Even though his nephew is staying at your house, taking you to school dances? No, Stiles says again. Your pulse jumped. Yeah, maybe because you're fucking terrifying. Stiles wrenches out of Gerard's grip and nearly falls out of his chair. I mean, isn't there something in the Constitution about mixing church and state? Doesn't that mean you also can't mix the devil and state? Gerard chuckles, but the smile doesn't reach his eyes. I'm sorry, Stiles. That was going too far. Gee, you think? Stiles keeps the chair between the two of them. I don't know where Peter Hale is, and if you touch me again, I'm calling my dad so he can arrest you for assault and haul your creepy ass off to jail. Now I'm going back to class. Okay, Stiles, Gerard says, but he's still smiling as Stiles bolts from the room. Stiles is barely three sentences into his description of his encounter with Gerard Argent when Tom realizes that his claws have come out and are digging into the table. Stiles, who's fully invested in his recounting of events, doesn't notice. Tom takes several deep breaths to calm himself down and shift back. Well, he finally says, I guess I'll go have a chat with him. Well, I did tell him that if he did it again, you'd arrest him. Yeah, we're not going to wait for him to do it again, Tom says, getting up and checking to make sure that he has no werewolf features. Derek, stay here with Stiles. I'll be back in a little while. Derek just nods. Tom pulls on his jacket and heads out the door. By the time he gets to the Argent house, his rage has settled a little. He rings the bell and is greeted by Victoria. He's never quite been able to get a read on her, and it makes him a little uncomfortable, to be honest. But he greets her politely. Ma'am, I need to speak with Gerard Argent. Victoria steps back to let him in and says, This way. It's clear that Gerard was well aware that he was going to come by, because he's waiting in their basement. Tom supposes that it's meant to intimidate him with the racks of weaponry and the targets on the wall. Chris is standing in the corner, looking like he'd rather be just about anywhere else. Sheriff, Gerard says, with a smug smile. Principal Argent, Tom says, his voice heavy with sarcasm. I need to have a word with you about what happened with my son today. He seems like a fine young man, Gerard says. It was a pleasure to make his acquaintance. Yeah, why don't we cut the chit-chat, Tom says. You do realize that I could arrest you for assault, right? You laid your hands on another person in a threatening manner. That's assault. The only reason I'm not doing that is because it would be Stiles' word against yours, and I'm not sure how that would play out in front of a jury. But let me make it clear right now that if you lay a finger on him again, all bets are off. Of course, Gerard says gravely. A man would do anything for his child, am I right? Chris glances over at his father, his face tight and unhappy, but says nothing. You know, you might think you're drawing a clever parallel, but I'm not impressed, Tom says. Kate is dead. You can't help her now. My son is very much alive, and believe me, he is going to stay that way. If you want revenge for Kate's death, you take that up with me. Not the Hales, and certainly not my son. I don't want to find Peter Hale because of what he did to Kate. You've made it clear that he wasn't responsible. But I still want to find him. He murdered five people. might or might not believe me, but I don't approve of what Peter Hale did. I was trying to stop him, but by the time I caught up with him, he had already gone through everyone between him and Kate. Now that she's dead, he's not going to kill anyone else, so I don't see much point in hunting him down. I'm not sure I see how there's not much point in tracking down an admitted killer. Tom folds his arms over his chest. The people Peter killed were responsible for murdering his family. Again, I don't approve of what he did. I don't believe in vigilante justice. But the fact of the matter is that Peter is an alpha werewolf, and putting him in prison would be impossible. And that's not even going into the fact that there's literally no way to prove what he did in a court of law, since all the deaths were officially ruled animal attacks. If the only two options are freedom or death, then yes, I think he deserves the former more than the latter. I'm not going to kill him for avenging his family. Fine, Gerard says. If you won't, then I will. Tom studies him for a moment, looks at the ceiling and prays for patience, takes a deep breath. Okay, let's go. Hands behind your back. Gerard looks genuinely puzzled. How many times do I have to impress upon this family that I am an officer of the law? Tom asks. You can't just threaten to kill a man right in front of me and not expect to get arrested. Oh, and by the way, you can kiss your new job goodbye, because I will be telling the superintendent and the school board about this. Now let's go. Whatever happened to it's my word against yours? Well, putting aside the fact that I certainly hope a jury would find the word of an actual police officer more compelling than that of a 16-year-old boy with an overactive imagination, I could point out that there's a witness. Tom points to Chris, who's still sitting silently in the corner. Gerard snorts. Do you honestly think that's going to work in your favor and not mine? I'd be interested to find out, Tom says, addressing Chris, not Gerard. Chris is very engrossed in the wall just over Tom's shoulder. But okay, I'll make a deal with you. Quit your new job, stay away from my son, and I won't arrest you for threatening to kill Peter Hale. Is the sheriff supposed to play favorites like that? Gerard asks with a smirk. When it's my son? Absolutely. And to be fair and honest, Peter Hale's safety really isn't my priority or my concern. I don't think you should kill him, and I don't think he deserves to die. But I'm pretty sure he can take care of himself. So how about it? Getting arrested would be an inconvenience, Gerard agrees. Deal. Okay, we're done here. Tom goes up the stairs without waiting for anyone to come show him out and heads home.